here I am, I'm just waiting for the bath to fill up a little bit more. You want it so that it won't overflow when you're being baptized, when you're baptizing yourself. So usually you leave a bit of room at the top, just like you would any full bath. But you need to make sure you've got enough water so you can get all of yourself under the water, your shoulders and your head, so you can get yourself fully under the water. It's not important what you wear for your baptism. Wear what you feel comfortable in. I'm wearing my swimmers. You could wear a t-shirt or whatever. It's up to you. It's important what's happening in your heart, not what you're wearing. So I think this is just about enough water for me. I'm not very big. So I'll turn off the tap. It's nice and warm. So when you're baptizing yourself, you lie on your side. And you put your arm up a little bit so it's not in the way. If you're worried about water going up your nose, you can hold your nose. So now I'm going to sit down. Sit down in the bath. Okay, like that. Then put your arm up. A little bit back. Okay, and then you can say a prayer. Say, for example, you could say, Dear Lord, you know my heart. You know that I want to be with you. I'm going to baptize myself now into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then hold your nose. Put your head under the water.
Okay. I'm in the real back end of Eastern Europe at the moment, and I'm driving out to see a man who baptized himself. And I'd like to just do a couple of minutes interview with him to ask him what he did and why he did it and how he felt. Indars, we're here in Latvia by the beautiful River Gauja. You baptized yourself.
Yes.
And why did you do that? Why did you baptize yourself? Why didn't you, like, go to a church or get pastors or priests or something like that to do it?
Well, my personal opinion is that it could be done by oneself. Or as well, could be a pastor or another Christian.
But why did you choose to baptize yourself?
I choose to baptize myself because I do not believe in some common and widespread doctrines. For example, about the Trinity.
So, how did you do the baptism?
Yes, and also I believe that baptizing can be done by oneself if in accordance to belief in God. So that's why I baptized myself. But how I did it? Actually, in a very simple way. Bible reveals that there must be full immersion in water, so the whole body must be underneath the surface of the water. There is no like question about the time, or it could be just for some seconds. But the question is, do we do in faith towards God, and acknowledging the Bible?
So how did you do it? Did you do it in a bath?
When I went into beach, to sea, just some meters from the seashore, prayed, like test myself if I truly believe in him, if I truly want to serve him, be with him, I mean God. And then I just surrendered to his mercy and his doing, and just go underneath the surface of the water for some seconds, and then I came out.
And how did you feel afterwards?
I felt very good, happy about that, because I believe the baptism is very crucial for faith and for the relationship with God. Because I do not believe in formal religion, but I believe in true and devoted relationship with God.
And so, have you ever regretted it? Have you ever thought, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have gone to the church or something like that"?
No, I didn't.
That's good. Thank you.
Well, we're going to talk about self-baptism. Can I baptize myself? Should I baptize myself? Does the Bible say anything about that? And how practically should I do it? Well, I suppose this is probably one of the most personal and one of the most intimate questions that we could possibly touch. Because by being baptized, you go into the water, that's like death with Jesus, you come up out of the water, resurrection with him, and you become in Christ, a brother or sister in Christ. And this is an extremely intimate moment between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to suggest that although I would say that baptism is not simply into him personally, it is into the body of Christ, which is a community of believers worldwide, I would say it's better if someone does baptize you, but there is no Bible evidence that the person who, as it were, holds your shoulders as you go under the water or into the water, there's no Bible evidence that that person plays any role in the actual symbology of the act. Now, if the validity of baptism depended upon the person who baptized you, then effectively you would have a kind of a priesthood. You would have a level of people who stand between God and the Lord Jesus and us ordinary folks, as it were, here on the earth. That there would have to be this group of people who could baptize you. And then the question's thrown a stage further back, well, who are they and how do they get qualified? And the Bible is totally silent about that. At the end of the gospel record in Matthew 28:19, the Lord Jesus sends people out to preach -and-baptize. As if the commission to take the gospel into all the world, part and parcel of that is to also baptize people. And anyone can do that in the same way as the Great Commission to take the gospel to everybody else is to each and every believer. So there is no evidence in the New Testament that there's a particular set of people who are authorized, as it were, to perform baptism. The meaning of baptism, as I've said, is that you personally have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. You're not baptized into a denomination, into a club, into a set of theology. You're baptized into a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. You go under the water, connecting with his death and burial, up out of the water, connecting with his resurrection. And there is no role played by the guy who's holding your shoulders or just gently tapping your head as you go under. Absolutely no role is played by that at all. Now, there's about 40 references in the New Testament to people being baptized, and it's significant that there's only about two of them that actually mention the person who actually did the immersion, John the Baptist and Philip. The vast majority don't even mention it. In other words, who does the baptism is not a significant point. So even when Peter decided to baptize the first group of Gentile believers, it says in Acts 10:48 that he commanded them to be baptized, and they were. But it's not recorded that he actually did it, simply because it's irrelevant. If you look back in the Old Testament at the things that happened there that were types or prototypes of baptism, none of them really feature a baptizer who makes the whole thing valid. For example, Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, he went to Israel and met the prophet Elisha, and he wanted to be cleansed of his leprosy, and Elisha told him to go and dip himself in the River Jordan 7 times, and he did so, and he comes out with his flesh, we're told, just like that of a little child. He was born again, and clearly the incident pointed forward to Christian baptism. But the point is, he baptized himself. Now, the leper, under the law of Moses, when he wanted to be cleansed, he had to wash himself in water. There wasn't a priest that was called up to ceremonially wash him. He had to do it himself. And in fact, the priests, when they went into the holy place to do God's service, they had to wash themselves in a big baptismal bath that was called a laver. And in the New Testament, we're told that we are this new priesthood in the new Israel amongst those who've been baptized into the Lord Jesus. But the priests had to themselves wash themselves in that big laver, that big baptismal bath, as it were, and then go into God's presence to do his service. Especially Israel crossed the Red Sea. 1 Corinthians 10 says that they were baptized into Moses, as we are baptized into Jesus, in the cloud and in the sea. That is, there was water both sides of them and a cloud on top of them, which is also just water. And so Paul very cleverly, under inspiration, notices that they were baptized by immersion in the cloud as well as in the sea. Water both sides of them, water on top of them. Now, that is a very clear figure of baptism, but in fact, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2, seems to say, in the Greek text anyway, that they baptized themselves into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, just as those people who went through the Red Sea, they did this themselves. They wanted to get out of Egypt, representing the world. They were fed up with that. They wanted to get out and to go to the Promised Land, and that's what they did. But they themselves took that choice and went through that water themselves. Now, on the other hand, the whole idea of Christianity, of biblical Christianity, is that we are saved by reason of our connection with the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, as Paul says so many times, is the ecclesia, the church, the group of fellow believers. And it's not designed to be lived alone. Christianity is not designed to just be lived in front of a computer screen, tapping on a few things, making a few likes on Facebook or social media or whatever it is, and then, well, dipping yourself and just being isolated from all the others who are in Christ. That's not the idea. But I do recognize that, especially these days, there's all sorts of situations, many situations. It can be from persecution, family that don't understand, family opposition, geographical isolation, lack of true believers around you, all sorts of reasons, psychological reasons, nervous illness, whatever, that mean that really somebody has got no option but to be baptized by themselves, because we're told that baptism is related to salvation. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. John 3, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. As many of you, Galatians 3, 27, as many of you, only as many of you, as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And then you are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise of the gospel of the kingdom of God that was first made to Abraham. So we must be baptized. It's not the end, it is just a beginning or a stage on the journey, but it is a bridge that must be crossed. we must do this. And if for whatever reason, you can't bring yourself to be baptized by others, or maybe it's just not possible, well, there's nothing wrong with baptizing yourself. Now, I would say that when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:13 that Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel, he's not saying that he didn't baptize people, because it's recorded that he did. But I think what he's saying is, who baptized you doesn't mean anything. So he's telling the Corinthians, they were all running around saying, oh, I was baptized by Peter, I was baptized by Paul, I was baptized by Apollos. And Paul's saying that's nothing to do with it. Who baptized you is irrelevant. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, Paul says, by one spirit, were you all baptized into the one body of Christ. So it is effectively the work of God through his Spirit, which is what is the medium through which we, by God's providence, came to encounter the gospel and to come to the point of baptism. Any human being who plays a role in that has simply been used by God as a tool. So then, we are to be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a command, and our salvation in that sense depends upon it. I'd like to just leave you with the picture of the Lord Jesus in the upper room the night before he dies, and he's washing the disciples' feet, and Peter doesn't want the Lord to do that. And Jesus says, it's in John 13, verse 8, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. Now, John's gospel is a bit different to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He records basically the same teaching, the essence of the same teaching, but in a more indirect and spiritual kind of manner. Mark 16:16, for example, in Mark's record, is quite clear. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. If you're not baptized, you can't expect salvation. Jesus puts it, or John records it, shall I say, in a more oblique kind of way there in John 13. There's Jesus washing the disciples. One of them doesn't want it, and he says, you know, if I do not wash you, if I do not baptize you, you have no part in me. But my point in this context is that he, the Lord Jesus, is the one who did the washing. As I started by saying, it is between you and God and the Lord Jesus. Even if you do it in front of 1,000 people, with two people pushing you under the water, that's neither here nor there. It is you and God and Jesus, just as it will be when you and I come and stand before him at the last day. And so there is, in essence, no difference between, let's imagine, the person being baptized in a stadium in front of, say, 1,000 people with everyone clapping and so forth, lots of pomp and ceremony. There is no difference, in essence, between that baptism and the very sincere lady stuck out in some village someplace who picks up the gospel, let's say, from looking at the internet, and thinks, well, I must be baptized. It's a condition of salvation. I want to be connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, okay, I'll run the water in my bathtub. Is that good enough? Yes, dear. That is absolutely good enough. That is just the same, in essence, as those being baptized in a huge stadium in front of thousands of witnesses. So then, what I suggest you do is to contact us. And we'd be very pleased, as far as we can, to baptize you into the Lord Jesus. But if you don't want that, that's fine. We could be present by Skype. We could talk to you on your phone. We've done this, my wife and I, many times. Read, say, Romans 6 together over the telephone. That's the chapter about baptism. Pray together. Then you go to your bathroom or down to the lake or down the road to the swimming pool or whatever it is in your context and immerse yourself underwater, just saying, I baptize myself into the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can pray and chat just as you want. But the essence is that we are not alone and you are not alone. But there is this wider community of the body of Christ, of others who have, like you, been baptized into the Lord Jesus. But we have to be wise enough to realize that we each have a different way in this world. We each have a different set of social circumstances, domestic circumstances, God understands that. And I do believe that it is particularly thrilling for him to see somebody seriously studying the gospel. These days it's often online, reading a book or reading through the Bible with commentary and understanding it, and saying to themselves and to Jesus, I want to be baptized into you. And having the guts and the commitment to him to run that water in your bathtub and do it. God bless you, and do be in touch.
And so, how did you come to understand, for example, that the Trinity is not taught in the Bible and that hell is the grave? How did you come across these ideas?
Well, I got to meet Duncan Hister and to speak with him. He is also the author of the book called Bibles Pamati. I read it in Latvian. In English, it's Bible Basics. But my first reaction towards this message was as a rejection. I didn't want to believe in it. I found it like a nonsense. But then I started to find, just in case, just by the interest, if those things written in this book and what I was we were speaking with Duncan is according to the Bible or not. And when I really started to put all stereotypes away and looked in the Bible, I started to see that these things do go together. So it also changed my opinion.
So the key really is looking at the Bible text for yourself.
And not just reading the Bible, but reading it very carefully and devotional, as a devotional thing to God. We need to study in deepened level, not just the surface. And because otherwise we will mostly listen for other people, those things that other people are saying, and thinking that they are truth, especially if they are said by some high rank religious people, some pastor with widespread ministry. But if we look truly in the Bible, it can reveal many things. And the question is, do we really live according to the Bible or by the inventions that people have made?
So thank you, Indars. So if anybody would like a copy of the Bible in their language with commentary, or the book Bible Basics that Indars has mentioned, do contact us. We'll be so happy to let you have a free copy.